nicknamed very quickly, this may come as a shock to him, Gunkard Stern. That was his name. And we called him Gunky.
Radio Gunk.
I think he's on the Rhythm Nation tour.
Radio Gunk.
Greetings, everyone.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to a live show on this wonderful Labor holiday. I don't even know from holidays anymore. So therefore, I don't even know how it works anymore. I'm really not sure. So,
well, the irony that we're doing a show about Beth on Labor Day, or the oxymoronic nature of that.
the irony is off the charts with this one. It really is.
I mean, those roots of hers are brutal. I think, well, you know what? Well, hold on. So let me just. I know we're going right into our stupid show, but so kind of last minute decided to do a show today, and legitimately, the whole show is based on one minute clip. And I know for some bizarre reason, especially when the three of us get together, which is John and Dennis and myself, that a stupid 1 minute clip can amazingly turn into an hour's worth of show.
So. This is so funny. My family actually going, I said, oh, it's going to be an hour. And they just looked at me. Sure.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. It's never an hour. But no. Welcome to our new Twitch channel.
Mommy, what is MySpace? Why is Daddy making MySpace references? What is that? Who is King Norris?
Yeah, nobody. Nobody you need to know. Well, you know the funny thing about Dennis's family? They're all so highly aware of Dennis and his Howard Stern thing. So yeah. Nobody questions who King Norris is, right? I mean, nobody questions
King
that.
Norris.
King Norris. Apologies in advance to anybody who was offended for some bizarre reason by me posting a picture of Tess Norris on our forum. It was just in response to a posting of Jackson Delabate. And she's not in the public eye, and she's not a public figure. So, you know, I deleted the thread.
Yeah, but you blew it up because I mean the Jackson that was that, not Jackson Delabate, but what do you call that? Sal's son was fair game. That was on the internet. Jackson Delabate was on the show.
But Tess has never
you
been on.
I just deleted your post.
I could have, but then everybody was like jumping on it. So I was like, you know, no. And then after that, it got like somebody started a whole thing about Stuttering John's kid and that thing. And so it's like, you know, this is going down some shitty path. So
yeah, of course, as usual, this is why we can't have nice things.
This is why we can't have nice things. So
nice to you, Monique. Just the same way Howard used kid gloves on Cody and Cassie Gifford in the 90s.
So all right, the greatest screen name ever, Stuttering John's AC.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, so can I finish with my starting thing here? So
sorry about that.
thank you, Dennis. Thank you. You know what? I'm muting your ass right now. All right, listen. So what I wanted to say is that we're going to have some new shows coming up this week. I don't know if anybody noticed on the Friday show, it's going to be Food Friday. So I did record those with this guy, Greg, who does Barbecue Central show. Are you done being snotty? Greg, who does. Oh, yep. Look at you.
I was seeing how it worked.
You cannot be trusted. You cannot be trusted.
I cannot be trusted. I'm not trustworthy.
So there's going to be a new show on Friday, and it's called Food Fridays, and it's only a half hour show, which I think will be really fun. Dennis, if you can't control yourself, I'm muting you again.
I had a frog in my throat.
Oh, Jesus Christ. See, I knew doing a show this spontaneous was going to be a complete clusterfuck. I just knew it. There's noises, shit going on. All right. Hi, everyone. So what we decided to do today, again, somebody who's new to our forum, his name is Mr. Pink. I have no idea who he is, but he has an amazing avatar of Archer. And he started a thread about, hey, you know, I was listening to some old shows and there was this one from when they were in Vegas and how Howard was walking around telling everybody that to call Beth his dirty little whore. And he's like, you know, not for anything, but I would never do that to like my girlfriend or wife, whatever it is, because, you know, that's so disrespectful. But, you know, Howard thought it was funny and thought it was like a really cool thing to do. So because I have all of a 1 minute and 2 second clip on this, we decided to make a show out of it. And then as I'm going through the Mark Spriggan on this to look at other things that were said during that time period, it's like, all of a sudden, yet another How We Met version comes out of his mouth. So this was back in 2003. I'm like, and Jackie, Dennis noticed it as well. And we're like, okay, so this is yet another version of the How We Met story. So we're going to go into that a little bit. And then Ben had done a really good commentary on 2005, where yet again, he's still calling her his whore, and does anybody want to have sex with her? Just kind of, you know, throw her around, pass her around to the staff. So, yeah, so it's kind of weird like that. So, I don't know, guys, any comments you want to make, by all means, do so before I start the clip, the big 1 minute clip.
Oh, no, us? Go ahead. John?
Oh, now you have nothing to say. Now nobody has anything to say.
No, I'm waiting for the point.
Go, John.
Has there ever been a couple with worse chemistry than these two that has to validate and remind you and change timelines and lie about their chemistry? I don't think there's a worse couple in all of coupledom, whether you want to call them celebrity, that I've ever met, celebritydom. And this is just another facet of that, how you have to lie about how you met and everything. You have to lie about the days you had. And when you hear that together, they have nothing in common. And I'm curious to hear this because, I mean, I could have probably added something to it. I'm curious to hear this as well.
I mean, gas and water blends better than these two. I mean, honest to God, there's nothing there except that he has money and it wants money. And that's literally where it begins and ends. It's actually
transactional to the tilt.
Absolutely. And just, you know, if you can't remember how you met, I mean, in a succinct 1 minute story, then obviously you're lying. I mean, that's the only way around it. You're lying. Yeah. And it's amazing how they constantly, constantly lie and embellish every time they retell or change the story. I find it quite amazing. And this version, I had forgotten about this version because it was just a little throwaway during that show. It was literally just a throwaway.
Exactly. So we'll go into it. So we'll get into that in just a moment now.
And lest anybody believe that Beth doesn't have a man hand, in a princess man hand, in ruining the show. And yes, it does fall on Howard. But when she hooked up with Buckwall, they had to crowbar her into storylines on the show. And the promotion of her probably started, I guess, what you have. Well, I'd go back to the FHM stuff in 2002.
Yeah, 2002,
it
right.
It became rampant because he...
And to that point, I was going through Mark Spriggan trying to find that Mercer's Kitchen story, like way back when. Yeah. And you do a search and you'd like, oh, let me search the page. And then you type in the word Beth. And like it would come up like 50 times in one day. It would be Beth, 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 Beth. Like, you know, just in Mark Spriggan, you know, shorthand, it would still come up 50 times a day. During that 2002, the 2006, during that time period, I mean, literally the crowbarring of it into the show was disturbing, and it really was way over the top. And I think it was part of, you know, trying to push part of the deal, plus also trying to switch to that Hollywood Howie image that he was already kind of working on.
I kind of feel like he was getting laid all the time for a minute. So, you know, he was fascinated with his blonde shiksa that he had. You know, this is like new for him.
Well, Ralph was closer, you're right. So
well, I think you're both I think you're both right in the sense that he had to make it where the mad tear, this she's worth, and the audience, he so has so disrespect for his audience, and thinking we're on this, we have the same hillbilly hot radar that he does, and we're all gonna fawn over and we're so smitten with her like he is, and we're just gonna go along with everything he says and does, and no matter what shit he throws against the wall, no matter what he tells to promote to us, we're gonna buy it, and we're gonna, and it's worked. In all honesty, it has worked. So he thinks whatever he can foist on this audience, we're gonna eat it up.
And we did.
With her though, I don't know.
No, not with her. Actually, that was absolutely the fall of the Stern Fan Network at the time, though, too. Because you know, if you said anything negative about Beth, it was sanctioned. It was deleted. It was
That's a great reference.
Bad about Beth. You know, all you can say about Beth is that she's so beautiful and she's such a vision and she's, you know, God's gift to men. And, you know, and they all chewed on it like fucking Beth jerky, you know, they just chewed it.
That's almost a description of the real Beth.
Yeah,
I mean, looking at that skin and bones thing right now.
Oh my God! You know, so it was interesting.
You make a great point. You're so right because I'm thinking about it, and she caused so much histrionic problems in every facet of the show. So you had to like censor SFM. You had to censor his own channels. You couldn't talk about her on the Superfan Roundtable. And there's all these marching orders. Fans were getting shut. And then it ruined content on the show. And everywhere she went. And then she's running around, you know, making up stories of getting attacked on the street over and over and over again.
And this goes back to Beef being very, very, very thin-skinned. I mean, it's even more thin-skinned than Howard. And really, seriously, it is.
Yeah, no, but what we're starting to see, though, now, especially with these COVID shows that he does, the quarantine shows, is her histrionics, is how she cries at the drop of, like, a dime, or she can't stand, or she fell, or she's sad that this is happening. And so it's clearer than ever. Not that she's getting to be a little bit loony. Hold on. Not that she's getting to be a little bit loony, but that she's always been this person.
Oh yeah.
And because it's almost childlike in Howard's eyes, he sees it as him coming in as the hero who, you know, at the time, I'm saying back in 2003 or whatever, but he's the hero who comes in to save, you know, the blonde goddess from herself. And, you know, she probably is the one who caused the fucking flood in the ceiling of her.
That's right. We said it last show. I don't believe a word of it anymore.
I don't believe a word of the story.
I did believe it initially, and now I don't believe anything they say, and that's a clear example of something. You go back.
I believe she told him a story.
No, I don't think
as an excuse to move in. Oh my God, yes.
I don't think so at all.
Can I stay over just for a couple of days kind of thing? I don't think he ever actually went there to see whether or not it actually happened. I think she told him that it happened and it was her, excuse to come over and stay for a while and, you know, never leave. Honestly.
I agree.
I think she told the story, not that it happened or didn't happen, but it was her way in. Put it that way.
I agree.
Yeah, I can see it lying, but I mean, the plan all along was to have this as a great beard. I mean, obviously, I mean, it's the perfect beard because it just wants money, attention, and it is dumb. It's perfect. It doesn't get any better than that.
The clip you had me get with King of All Blacks, it might be her worst. It might be her worst acting since. I have to go with Whipped, because you know she and this is, you know, when I saw that, it is now. Somebody writes here. I think the crying is actually does it when Howard needs a distraction from a tough question that a caller may ask. That was the worst one yet. Because she threw herself to the floor in the worst timing possible. I mean, I can go back, and you guys are talking like I have been running this, and I'm not patting myself on the back of this. I have been running a theme on the seven channels I've had canceled, and I have all these like sort of grouped together of these. I mean, I don't even know. She gets spit on by the black guys. She gets this black kid. It's always black kids too, by the way. So she's so uncreative. And they're if you walk around her, it's not exactly you know, Ferguson when you walk around West 67 to Columbus. And she has black kids blowing whistles on her. She has directors attacking her on the street with scripts. I don't even know. Every at a premiere, there are actors harassing her. There are ex-boyfriends coming after her. And it was constant. And if I put them all together, it would blow your mind. And there would be no refuting that she certainly has this crazy histrionic personality disorder that can only think rivals Amber Heard at this point. And
but he loves it. But he loves it.
Well,
it feeds
into his insanity too.
And it feeds and the his script. Ego. And the script. Yes.
Yeah, his ego. Ego.
Help me. Help me, Daddy. Help me. Help me be, you know, a good girl. And you know what? He gave to her absolutely everything that the older guy would give that he never gave to his children. So she was like his new child, like his adult child that he could now take care of and maybe learn something from his, you know, Psych 101 therapy sessions, that he could now deal with somebody who's a little bit on the insane side.
And also very emotionally stunted. I mean, developmentally stunted.
So is he.
They both are. So that's one thing they have in common. You got to have something in common. I guess it's that they're both stunted at 13 years old. I mean,
yeah, let me qualify this real rubber biscuit. The adults are stupid. She probably didn't ask for one. She would never get a prenup if it was up to her. Are you kidding me? Howard immediately got a prenup. There's no way a guy making that much money isn't going to get a prenup. I mean, he still wears a condom with her. Of course he's going to get a prenup.
That's if they actually have sex, which I doubt.
Who knows?
I doubt.
Who knows?
I have a clip of him admitting to Trump, of all people, that he has a prenuptial agreement. Like an actual...
Oh, yeah, of course he did.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, I actually have him saying it. So it's not like we're speculating and we're
no man who makes that much money doesn't have a prenup. That's just not possible. Especially coming right off of probably giving a shit ton of money to Allison. So there's just no way that he would ever make that mistake again. That's why he didn't have children either, because he knew that if you had a kid, you know, that prenup is right out the friggin' window.
How many interviews did he do with male guests berating them for divorces they had and talking about, I don't care if it's Geraldo or Tom Arnold, and he'd spend 70% of the interview talking about divorce laws and how much money they had to pay out. And he's obsessed with prenuptial agreements.
Both the divorce and the getting married thing. Like he berated people for getting married and he berated them for getting divorced.
Exactly. Well,
and the thing is, horse is going nowhere because it can't live a better life than it's living now.
But she absolutely will get, you know, I know, but what I'm saying is either way, she'll make off probably better than even Katie Lee did. You know, here, take one of the homes and here's money and she'll never have to worry again.
But that's here's the drug for the beef, the attention, because without him being there, it does not have that fed. It doesn't have the access to these people, because once it's cast off, it's not Katie Lee. It's an old mare at this point and nobody's looking for it. Nobody is looking for it.
It's almost like what would happen to Marla Maples today.
Yep.
Right? Where are we hearing from her?
I think Marla is contractually not able to be out. I'm not joking. Like, I think she is contractually.
So Ben might be as well.
That's why you always see her traveling and doing and whatever, but she never really speaks out. She doesn't really talk about any of her nothing. Nothing at all. But I think that's part of her NDA.
And the same thing with honestly, I think Beef has the same thing, and Beef knows that. And Beef, like, the drug of attention outweighs everything for that thing. Look at what it posts on StupidGram. I mean, honest to God, we would literally be ashamed to post pictures like that. And it posts them all the time.
Are you talking about the new ones, like with the roots and the Amish butter churning hands and all that stuff?
I mean, looking crazy. No, and I know it's a cry of attention. I cry for attention. Yes.
No, it's very similar to the oh my god, you're too skinny, you need to eat a sandwich thing, or when they wear sweaters or whatever. Look at the sacrifice I'm making. I am so beautiful that I can even show you me with my goddamn roots, and you'll still think I'm the most beautiful inside and out.
But it has a shave. No, this is literally, but it always posts pictures that are just insane. I mean, looking crazy, acting crazy. No, it needs the attention.
What Monique said is, she's essentially – that's the way she fishes for compliments. So exactly what Monique just said, she's hoping there are thousands of comments that say exactly that, and she'll delete the ones that don't. She wants that backward compliment, the fucking humble brag, and to be more roots than fucking Kunta Kinte and Chicken Floor.
You know what? Beefus is the only middle-aged thing that's hair has actually gotten darker. Instead of going white, it's actually turned brown. It's pretty amazing.
you can see the gray in there though too. It's blondes tend to gray a little bit sooner.
It's brown. It has brown hair. I mean,
but it's dirty blonde. I'm gonna give her dirty blonde. She always was. Even from the videos when she was a kid and stuff like that. I'm just saying they tend to gray a little bit earlier.
What do you Fold 47 is going crazy in this chat. Excellent job, everybody, right now. I wish I could read them all, but writes, he or she thinks that Beth will get $80 million and a house had there been a divorce. That would be how she'd settle up without the prenup.
$80 million. Okay. Without
the prenup? Without, it would be much more.
No, she has no children. She only needs to be able to live her lifestyle, what she's accustomed to. Period. That's it. The way the law looks at it is that lifestyle word
Monique, when people quote that, that's so funny. It's like it's the biggest punchline now. That's the lifestyle I'm accustomed to. But Monique, you know how much Howard's.
Yeah, but Monique, its lifestyle is in a 15,000 square foot.
That's
$60 million
that's,
mansion.
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
So, you know, she can – listen, I've been around a lot of divorced people for some reason lately, and I'm telling you that there are limits, especially with the prenup. There are many, many limitations. He may have something with her that says, you know, the $50 million, then I'll buy you a house that you never have to worry about, you know, paying anything on or taxes or anything like that. And let's part ways. And that's it. And she certainly can live out the rest of her life on $50 million. Certainly.
I don't know. I think it could piss through cash pretty fast. I mean, seriously.
Tiger Lily says she'll claim her asset dependence.
Yeah, Gary Puck. Gary.
Blind Bella, Gary. Who is blind without sight and cannot see. Yes. That's a special needs one.
Gary Puppet is a Gary Puppet says that, and he compares Howard to Dr. Dre, which is on, you know, that's a guy who's on Howard's kind of money level. $2 million, that's something you could use as a barometer of what Beth might be. Amber Heard in debt, right? $7 million. Mm-hmm. That's what she was at. There was no prenup with those two.
And she has no children. So there's always the children. You know, don't ever forget that that's the – this is why he wears a condom, you guys. Never wanted to risk
– the herps too.
Having another sternlet that, you know, he would have to take care of. He never wanted to risk that. And I'm sure whatever money she gets, by the way, even if in the prenup, like, she gets X amount – in his will, he probably just has like a living thing for her where it's like, okay, you can spend whatever it is you want to spend while you're alive, but, you know, the rest just goes to my kids. So that's all you get. That's the way it works.
I don't even think it's in the will. I honestly think it's not even in the will. I just can't imagine him putting that in the will. I just can't.
You know what? In his own warped way, he does love her. He adores her. And so there's no way that she's not in the will.
I don't think the word adore is the correct verbiage right there.
Yeah, maybe not. But I don't think their relationship is as bad as... Listen, we are definitely never, ever, ever doing a conspiracy theory show again, but I don't think their relationship is quite as bad as you guys love to give it credit for being. You know, maybe they don't have sex anymore, whatever, but she's definitely, you know, she's definitely living her worst life right now. Definitely.
Oh, this is hell. This is hell. It couldn't have imagined something this bad. Oh, no, it couldn't have.
Yeah,
you know, what's so funny is that I love that they dropped that Beef is cleaning the house 24/7. That's kind of gone away because, yeah. You know, its own Instagram gives that away. I mean, it's laying around in the middle of the afternoon, like, you know, with cats on it. I'm going, yeah, you're cleaning a 15,000 square foot house and you're able to rest for 3 hours. Sure.
Yeah, of course it's not. I mean, you know,
ridiculous.
I will give her, I don't know, 2 brownie points, 2 Consuela points for maybe making the beds, apostrophe S, and maybe, you know, cleaning up the bathrooms and her own space, which is that friggin' kitty litter center that she has. I'll give her that. That's it, though. And maybe the kitchen. I give her 4 rooms that she has to clean on any given every other day. Like, how many times is she cleaning a bathroom? I mean, unless Howard is the slob I'm starting to think that he is.
He is.
The toothpicks all over the place and, you know, not being able to pee straight into his fucking Toto. I mean, who knows what goes on there? Seriously.
Well,
he dribbles
everywhere.
Yeah,
so
he might be like just a gigantic fucking...
So Consuela's coming in there at least twice a week to help. So, absolutely.
I love the way we do this. Absolutely, she's coming in. I definitely know that the gardeners are coming in, but I don't know about the Consuelas.
You don't think Howard's out there on a riding mower, shirtless?
With a beer.
Exactly. With a Merle Light.
Okay, Tim Estes said, it was a clip from the last days of On Demand. Howard said if Beth wanted to have kids, they would. Then she asked him, and he nixed the idea. Of course he did. He doesn't want any more fucking kids. All right, so let's get on with the show a little bit so that we can actually talk about why we're here today. Okay, so let's talk about Howard's dirty little whore. So basically what happened is they were doing these road shows, and so they were out in Vegas for a week, and, you know, he's with Beth now for how long? And then without the conspiracy theories, how long is he with her now at the point?
You mean the official timeline?
Yes, without any thought. What are we talking about?
It would be 3 years. Well, it'd be 1 year according to their story. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So they're dating each other for a year ish, give or take. And, cause this is in May. So let's just listen to the clip. And there I am. Oh yeah. I love this avatar. Thanks, new guy, Mr. Pink, for bringing this up. So let's just hear it and then we'll talk it through. Okay.
I had sex 1 to 2 times every day. We didn't miss.
Hang on.
I had sex 1 to 2 times every day. We didn't miss.
Hey, Julia, you
okay?
Braggart.
Me and my girlfriend.
Julia, you want to know how out of control he is? Well, him and his girlfriend were in Vegas. They were playing a game called Dirty Little Whore.
Yeah.
DLW.
Yeah.
How does that game work?
Well, I went down.
You want to try this?
I went down to dinner, and Gary walked over to me. I go, and Beth and I had approved this, and, you know, together. I go, Gary, say hi to my dirty little whore. And Gary goes, what? I go, this is my dirty little Vegas whore.
Gary took his snout out of the rock shrimp for 2 seconds.
Oh, my, she has to be, you know, like in other words, I hired her out for the night.
Uh-huh.
And it was fun. We were role playing.
I got to tell you, I was uncomfortable with it, but he was having a blast.
I loved it. I had a couple of shots. I said, hey, dirty little whore.
Dirty little whore.
I thought all my friends call my whore a whore. Who cares? I paid.
I got to know it.
What do you think of that game?
What do I think of it?
Or does that disgust you?
No, it doesn't disgust me. I'm glad you had a good time on your vacation.
I don't see you dressing up in...
Okay.
Wow.
That's just a regular caller? That's just a regular female caller?
Allegedly.
The one at the end. Okay.
Well, 2003. I'm sure it was just a caller. Yeah, she just wanted to know what was going on in Vegas. That's all. And that's when he brought that up. So, yeah. So what do we think of that? I mean, you know, it's one thing to role play. Now, I know this is around the same time period as, like, right, Rebecca Romijn coming over to the house. And then him and Beth would go to, like, strip clubs. So this is, like, Beth 1.0 who's trying to do everything in her power to make Howard want to be with her and marry her. You know, this is what she's doing. She's trying to be whatever it is that he wants her to be, you know?
And the prototype FHM cover girl for the audience with all those cliches and the kind of pretty woman complex with Dear and Julia Roberts. There's an element of that. And it's so forced and so contrived.
Because that goes back to his whole love of Pretty Woman, where he is Pretty Woman. That's what he fantasizes, that he's Pretty Woman. But it goes back to that whole twisted thing. I mean, it's really fucking twisted because, I mean, you got to remember, this is a man, how old is he now at this point? Is he what? 66. He's in
40? 66, 67?
49.
Oh, at this point.
Yeah, he's 40, it's 49. 16 years ago, 49. 49-year-old. Father of three, right? And they're two of them are adults at this point. Yeah. And this is the way he's talking about this, you know, this woman or thing or whatever it is that he's been going out with for at least a year. And that's insane. I mean, literally that's really warped on a lot of levels. And to bring it up to like coworkers, which is even weirder.
Co-workers.
I mean, it's a part that it just gets really, this is really fucked up on so many levels.
Right. You're not out with your friends, but let's not forget the reality is that Howard has no friends, right? So
that's true. Everybody
the only friends Howard has, right, he pays his trainer, his teachers, his bodyguards, his drivers, right? So he doesn't really have friends. So his only friends are these people. But either way, how disrespectful is that to have her put out that way? I just think it's kind of disgusting on his part.
Well, it's extremely disrespectful. I mean, honest to God, I couldn't fathom any, even a super duper player going and calling the, you know, the girl he's with, you know, for a while. Oh yeah, that's my whore. I mean, my dirty little whore. I mean, that is like completely classless and utterly just, you know, you're nothing but trash. I mean, that literally, that's how demeaning that is. There's no other word for it except demeaning. And to think that it played along with that is unreal. I mean, it's just unreal the levels that this thing would do to make sure it could sink its hooks into Howard.
Well, as I had posted up here, one of the guys or Fold 47, whoever that is, two thumbs up for you, by the way, making excellent comments here, is that she was afraid of losing him. And I'm sure that's true. You know, so here he is just coming off of his, you know, alleged mad tear. And he's with her less than a year. I don't even think she's living with him yet at this point. What are you laughing at?
Tiger Lily's comment. I'm sorry.
What is it? Tell us.
The husband would be eating pepper spray if he said that once to me.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's just listen, I get the weird dynamic of him with the 14 or 15 year younger girl with, you know, him parading her around like she's this hot FHM model, right? So that's the narrative he wanted us all to kind of jump in on and believe and, you know, the beautiful Beth O and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But okay, if you want to do something like that with your girlfriend while you're in Vegas, it's like, I'm not necessarily sure I'd either A, talk about it on the radio, B, do it with my coworkers, just like Dennis said, or C, even have it known that that's kind of how I am. And on the next slide that we had here was some commentary that Benjamin made on the thread. And he was even hearkening to an interview in 2005. So let me read it to you guys just in case you can't see it too closely. In his late 2005 interview with New York Magazine promoting his move to Sirius, he refers to Beth as his sex object. Quote, in the living area of his apartment, Howard takes a seat next to his girlfriend, Beth Dostrosky. Outside, it's a stunning fall day. Through the windows, the apartment has tons. You can see all of Central Park, every single red, yellow, orange tree. Beth is almost 20 years younger than Howard and a beauty. White blonde hair, opalescent eyes, long legs. She's modeled since she was 9, recently with a lingerie specialty. Not long ago, she appeared on the cover of FHM magazine in a bikini. A career high point. Beth, though, apparently feels some pressure on her modeling prospects. It's her ass. She says she can't stand her ass. The thought moves Howard. Honey, Howard tells her, you're my sex object. I want to see your ass. I want you to walk around the apartment naked. Never, gasps Beth. Howard grabs Beth's hand. Beth doesn't think she looks good, and I'm like, you're insane. No, Beth says, I can doll myself up and be fine, but no, I have a really poor self-image. Really, it's bad. Really bad. We're two insecure people, Howard says, shrugging, and he tells her to go into the other room to have sex with the reporter. For one thing, there's the sex. Girlfriend sex, not wife sex, though Allison was a fine sex partner. Still, Beth's the homecoming queen, the shiksa goddess with a closet full of lingerie. I've never felt more comfortable with somebody sexually and more excited. I mean, it's... Howard pauses. He looks at Beth. Honey, go in the other room. Then he looks at me. You've got to try her. And, I mean, the whole... This is just like such ridiculousness. You've got... Go try her. Go try her. That's what he says. So, yeah. So this is a guy who wants us... to believe
that,
like
that insecurity thing is really kind of irritating.
Yeah, it is.
I just mean, who among us goes into acting and or modeling, no matter how fake you think it is, whatever, that he has the hubris to move from Castle Shannon to New York and say, I am hotter than everybody in this town. I'm going to this huge town to be as hot as anybody else. You don't think low of yourself if you go into modeling. It's completely oxymoronic. You don't feel that way. You think you're hot.
Especially that she's a fit model. All fit models know they have to get naked in front of like 4 or 5 different people in the fitting room. So that you can, you know, put your next outfit on. Everybody does it.
You don't even have the notion of going into modeling unless you don't think that highly of yourself. It's completely antithetical to the narrative. It's oxymoronic. Nice. You can't. Nice. Who would buy that? If you're the interviewer, you ask a follow up question and just go. You're in modeling. You obviously think you're hotter than everybody in at least your hometown to uproot and move here. And then think you're going to make a living in a business that is about being hot and guys jerking off to you and you having some power. I don't believe a word. I mean, it's how stupid do you have to be to eat that up? The very notion of going into modeling, especially as a teenager, thought you were hot your whole life.
Well, I love the part that where he used to constantly say and still does to this day that when they have sex, they like he'll put something around his waist so that she doesn't look at his ass when he leaves the room naked. And she does the same thing. She walks out backwards so that he doesn't have to see her ass. And he's been saying this for years. So I believe it to be true. I think it's insane.
I have never, ever in all of my life looking at models ever seen a model ashamed of their own ass. I mean, seriously. No. I mean, go through the old Sports Illustrated swimsuit issues. Those are real models, and those models are not ashamed to show their ass. Only a fake model would be ashamed to show their ass.
But if any of these broads ever say it, it's fake. It's fake self-deprecation from a PR person that says, in order to get you have to make women and guys think you're just like them, and you're as insecure as they do, and you don't see, and you see all the flaws in yourself. You don't see shit. If she is, she's comparing herself to what? To Victoria's Secret models? They don't see any flaws in themselves.
But the thing is, exactly, the thing is, this is supposed to be better than a Victoria's Secret model.
You're what we're all aspiring to, exactly.
Exactly, and literally not one of them, I've never met a very pretty girl that ever said something horrible. I mean, that they're ashamed of it. I mean, because the next they're, especially if they're wearing bikinis, you know, or small bathing suits, they're not sitting there like, oh yeah, I'm ashamed of my ass. No, if you, especially if you are pretty, you know that you're pretty, and you're not going to sit there and be.
But a lot of models are extremely insecure. They are.
Compared to other models.
Compared to other models.
But not hating their body, because Beefus is saying right here that it hates its own ass. That you know, like literally, like ashamed of it, and all the stories about being ashamed of its own ass, which is insane. I mean, that is crazy talk.
But to have the confidence to go in front of these international photographers and magazines strewn around everywhere and put, you're not ashamed. You're not, because if you truly were, you wouldn't even show your fucking face if you were that ashamed.
Right.
You're not. Nobody would. Monique, you said, what was it? Was it you that said, like, New York and L.A. are both – both cities are comprised of people who looked at their own hick town in Arkansas or Iowa, whatever. Said, I am too hot for this place. I'm moving here. And it's a whole city composed of both those things. Of L.A. them. And New York.
And better. And better because they have more money to actually get enhanced and do more things to themselves. Or they shack up with a sugar daddy and, you know, he gets her all fixed up and then he drops her when another impressionable 19-year-old comes along.
And you know, so that's why this whole narrative is just – the whole model narrative is completely insane. I mean, it literally – there's nothing factual or truthful, and we can't find anything to substantiate any of the stories. And the way it acts about itself, it does not act like it was a top model. Top models aren't this incredibly insecure. I have even at this age, Heidi Klum is not ashamed for people to see her ass. Literally, she'll walk on a beach and not hide that rear end like Beefus does. Beefus wears like almost a coat around itself when it's walking around.
I know. It's so crazy. It's so crazy to me. But maybe this is her weird. You know, I think a lot of people in Howard's vortex take a lot of his attributes and make them their own.
Yeah.
You know?
God, we've been saying this. I mean, that's almost a great show we could do. The germophobia, the anorexia, they pretend to be, I mean, Artie was very guilty of this. They'd be guilty. I remember Artie one time going, oh, Howard, I can't even touch doorknobs anymore. I can't, it's just, you know, you just in strip club.
And the problem is with the Instagram, we get to see that Howard truly is not any way, shape, or form a germaphobe. No way. You don't have cats on high surfaces in your house.
You don't hire that vile staff of his.
Yeah, it's
Benji,
true.
Richard, and Sal.
This is his own home where cats are on like countertops. Or in sinks. No, germaphobes would never allow a cat anywhere near.
No, but conversely, what John is talking about, you hire people that are lesser than you, that are disgusting or vile or will always never be you. And it's part of his insecurity, I guess,
to hire
people that are,
Well, that's him never having somebody come in and do the show for him when he's sick.
Right.
If I were Gary and or Marcy, the first thing I would say to new staffers is the best way to get on Howard's good side, the best way to get on the air is you have to be fatter and balder than he is and be financially destitute. So that makes him feel good. That'll put him on the, you know, you have to be, you know, you can look at the group picture of that staff and then.
No, that's too hideous. That group picture will give me nightmares.
It's horrible. They're all just disgustingly vile human beings. All right. So while we were doing the 2 minutes worth of research that it took to do this show, Dennis and I were both on Mark's Friggin, and I had taken a couple of little key mentions, and then Dennis jumped on that with his own. So. Yeah, I love this one. Another caller brought up Beth and how hot she looked out there. Gary said it was tough to talk to her next to the pool and not stare at her. He said he couldn't help himself. Gary said he could leer, spelled wrong, at her all day long. Howard said there were a couple of people who worked with him that were staring at her quite a bit while they were out there. Gary said Stuttering John stares at her a lot, but he's open about it. Howard said he wasn't that bad out there this time, though. So, yeah, they're all kind of jumping on the, oh, my God, she's so ridiculously stunning. And this is where she had, I probably still had, like, boob job number one, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right. So she was still working the wonk.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And I think it's because it's the boss's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You know, all these disgusting, vile miscreants that work for the show have never had that type of girl. So this is, you know, she's like their version of Barbie Dream Girl. Imagine, if you will, you know, guys who sit in their room for 15 hours a day playing Fortnite, finally coming out into the light and seeing like this, you know, 5'10" blonde woman who is now a part of like your life, you know, it's like weird science.
But it's also the exact reaction she wants. I mean, this is like, yes, this is playing into the script.
Yeah, well, yeah.
If it would be really hilarious to punk them and have no reaction, if the staff got together and go, let's just act like, you know, she's Allison Norris, and we're not gonna even make any reaction, we're gonna act like she's not here. She wants that, and she's just playing the script. And I think the fawning over her had taken, I mean, to not fawn over her is probably the worst thing you can do at the current state of the show.
Oh, yeah, you'd absolutely be on the outs if you didn't fawn all over Beefus. I mean, that just, yeah. Oh, wait, you go back, because the second part of the phone call.
Howard also took a call from Double A, who said he can't wait to see the E-shows from Vegas tonight. He also asked Howard what line he used on Beth to pick her up. Okay? Howard said he gave her a phony psychic reading. So I've never... No. Well, I don't remember this at all, but obviously it happened in 2003, but this is before, you know, we were parsing the friggin' show like the Zapruder film every damn week. But, right, so Howard said he gave her a phony psychic reading. He said he was goofing on psychics and gave her a phony one. Howard explained that he was at this restaurant one night where Beth was and ended up getting in on this conversation about psychic readings. Howard said he took Beth's hand and started making up stories. Her friends told Howard to stop because he was messing with, quote, powerful forces, and both of them looked at her like she was nuts. Howard said that started them talking, and they eventually hooked up. Okay? That's the story that he gave in 2003.
Yep, three.
Which I've never heard this story before.
Which hasn't come up since. And he's told different variations of this Mercer Kitcher bullshit at least 40 times since. And this psychic reading stuff has not once come up since 03.
Nope.
It's new to me.
Yeah, that's why when I saw this slide in the email, I went, oh my God, that's some ancient history. And that's never been forwarded, it's never been repeated. I mean, that literally... This is the one time it was told, and it stopped, because it has never been repeated ever again. And I like that it was told to double felon.
But I just find it to be really bizarre.
Double homicide.
Like, you know, because the last story we heard was when he was on with Ralph a couple of weeks ago, right? And they were talking about how she was talking to Ralph the whole night because, you know, she knew that this guy was going to be like her best friend like forever after they met that one night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see the machinations working in her brain as she's sitting there talking to Ralph, saying, I could see her saying, did you call him? Did you ask him to come? Did you ask him to come and eat with us? And you know Howard was in no mood, right? He had just come from – it was Mother's Day, right? He spent it with the kids or whatever the fuck bullshit it was, like Saturday night, and Mother's Day was the next day. And you know that she probably told him, oh, my God, you should totally call him and tell him to come. Yeah. I'm positive she was waiting for that fucking hookup. Positive. So – and you know all the girls there also just saw, you know, dollar signs in their eyes when Howard walked in the door.
Mm-hmm. Gary Puppet writes, Buchwald set her up, Howard and Beth up. There's no other explanation. I'm kind of with that, GP. He definitely has a hand. I mean, knowing what we know now, and I didn't know this till a little while ago, that both Angie Everhart and Robin Givens are Buchwald clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see him doing every heavy, and she has to be carefully vetted, and she has to be, you know, kind of a slave.
What is this, Scientology, that we have to set up like Tom Cruise?
Yes, absolutely.
David Allen, GTD, yes, that's how he works.
Are insane.
Getting things done is almost the same.
Oh my God, you guys are crazy. Listen,
why is it outlandish for you to think that Buchwald has a hand in it? He doesn't do anything without checking with her.
Exactly.
Why would a relationship
number
be
one,
different?
Why the fuck would Beth even be with a Buchwald? She did nothing. Okay.
Not client.
That's what he represents, Monique. Nothing. He represents. Look at his fucking client list.
There's no
she fits
way
right in. The shit she did before Howard is totally Buchwald worthy. He
There's
is the worst
no
client.
Way she was a Buchwald.
You saw his client list. They're
Why
horrible.
Are you yelling at me? There's no way that she was a Buchwald client.
No. I'm not saying it was a Buchwald client. I'm saying there was 6 degrees of separation where it was kind of thought that this horse would be a very good match for Howard at this point to kind of help him to help his image. No, to help his image. Because remember, having Beth helped his image as pathetic
as PR
it is.
PR is everything, right.
And
optics
and
PR.
And for
you
Buchwald.
Guys are so funny. I don't agree with this at all.
Why do you think that's great? Everything they do, he doesn't.
All right. You're getting very passionate about a silly, silly
Every curl is a manufacturer.
All I'm saying is that there's a huge, huge chasm of difference between Angie Everhart and a Beth Ostrowski nobody. If they happen to both be Buchwald clients, Robin Givens and Angie Everhart, this I'm thinking is Howard saying, hey, hook me up with Robin or get me Angie Everhart's number. That is as far as I think something like that would go. You guys are fucking insane if you think a agency had anything to do with him getting together with Beth.
Wait. This is that agency's biggest fucking client. Literally, he is Buchwald's biggest client. End of story.
So what? Does that mean Johnny Depp goes through his fucking agent?
He could
to get him.
If he's his biggest client, he'll do whatever he can to make that person happy. And Buchwald will do the same because Howard has no ability to do shit on his own. He literally has nothing. And Ralph, I have a feeling that Ralph was the intermediary for this whole entire setup. And that's the kind of, that's the whole 6 degrees of separation because
On the set of The Ninth Gate, I met Vanessa, who her agent, Tracy Jacobs.
How are you guys thinking that there would be any connection to Beth with Buchwald?
I'm not saying it was a client.
Yeah, because locally she did a bunch of drop-ins and a letter. It's enough. She had enough crap under her belt to get represented by that horrible agency. And Howard doesn't wipe his duties without Buchwald's approval. How many times has he said that? I'm not saying it's a fact. I'm saying it's very feasible that there's a Buchwald tie-in to this.
Buchwald was always a talent agent for radio personalities, which is the reason that Howard went to him. He was known in the industry as being a talent agent for radio.
He had non-radio people too.
And voiceover.
That was the bulk of that was his bread and butter. But he had non-radio people too.
But unfortunately, none of those other people became Howard Stern.
Do you know how hard it is to get a talent agent in New York City? Like, do you know how hard it is to get somebody to represent you? There is no fucking way a girl who put her hands up and did like one or two Lettermans gets any talent agent.
I'm not agreeing with John that it was represented by Buchwald at all. No, but the whole facilitation of it was like, this would be good for your image. This would be a good thing to have. It would literally be that type of conversation because he needed to change his image at that point. No, he really did. He needed to find a way to change his image. What a perfect person to change your image with. really? An idiot.
Wait, I'm sorry. So, you guys are all insane because now going back to the fucking conspiracy theories where she's a whore, she's an Arabian escort girl, she's, you know, she's pay for play. That's who you would choose to set up your biggest client?
It doesn't make sense. It keeps his mouth shut and it's stupid. It's perfect.
There's plenty of those, though. You don't have to have, there's a million of her. There's a million of her in New York.
Are there?
And if Howard is picking a Robin Givens and an Angie Everhart,
he wasn't.
No fucking way.
Those were set up. Those were set up. Those never happened.
They happened. Did you not hear our AJ Benz's show where Howard was so fucking pissed that if they fucked all night and he had to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning and he came back at like noon and she was still laying in fucking bed and he's saying to her what a lazy fuck she is? Of course it happened. Stop. Why is that something that can't be believed because somebody told it to us? How is everything not right, like true? There's no way that everything is not true.
I'm not saying no. They're saying there's always truth. There's always a bit of truth in every type of story. Remember, the story is true from whoever's perspective it's told. End of story. So he told that story, but he's a compulsive liar. So let's all remember that.
I get it. But he did fuck Angie Everhart, and he did have sex with a couple of different you know, women. I don't know.
Two masters, two all night equals 15 minutes.
Yeah. Katie, all right. Howard saw the Fox Chapel High School video and thought, I just have to have her.
That delivery was just stunning.
Buckwald forced, but Tiger Lily says Buckwald forced her to give up baby Noel after he consulted with Bigfoot about a UFO.
Stop it, Tiger Lily. Just stop it. You'll never get
that. I don't think the Buckwald connection is not conspiratorial. That controls everything he does. He's admitted it. He doesn't do anything without his approval. Givens and fucking Everhart.
Well, but he's always done right by Howard. Howard has made more money than a human being could possibly make.
And that's what we're saying, though, is that Howard doesn't do shit without asking Buckwald's approval on anything. And this is his biggest client by far. Think about just the first contract from Sirius. Buckwald made $50 million.
Again, going back to all you conspiracy theories about her being a whore and all that, that is the last person they would put her with.
But it's pliable. It seems personable. Its private life is unknown. I mean, literally, it is the perfect person because there's no history. Literally, you can't find anything about it.
D-List just said in there, if you have something to hide, you're not going to lie about how you met. You'd be proud of it. You wouldn't change the story all the time. Unless you had something to hide, there's something in there that's completely.
I think the only thing that's being hidden is the timing. Okay, I don't think that it's
Meaning that he cheated on Allison with her, which everybody believes at this point. Why didn't he go to John's wedding?
I'm sorry. So you're saying now that Buckwald hooked him up with a fucking girl to be a whore for him while he was married to his wife. That's what Don did for him.
Well, you think he's noble? You think Buckwald's noble? You think he's not a scumbag like all the rest of them? Do you think he has great Steve Rogers qualities, Buckwald?
I think you're all
a slimy Jewish agent from New York.
Okay, stop. We are going into some really weird weeds here. I'm just saying that I personally do not think it is plausible that a Buckwald.
Just because you don't think it's plausible does not mean it can't be true. And let's stop that for now. Just because you don't think it's plausible cannot be the chance that there's some sort of weird connection that it's true.
It's definitely very strange.
It's just very strange. The whole story thing, everything about it is so strange. It doesn't make any sense at all. And none of what they say is true. So obviously somewhere along the line, there's a truth, but we have never been told it and we don't know it. And that's where I'll just leave it.
I know, but we're getting into the weeds now of yelling about Buckwald and his.
It was not.
You're naive if you don't think he controls every move he makes. I'm more convinced of that now more than ever. He doesn't do shit without him. and he's the real genius behind Howard's fortune. And he's concocted all these marble heists over the years, selling this horrible book. If you can get John Hine and Lisa G a book deal, you can do anything.
Yeah, that's true. So Sin Lu says, I think Monique and Dennis should have a boxing match similar to Stuttering John and Gabby. Yeah, oh, that'll never happen. He could kick my ass.
Monique and Marianne from Brooklyn.
Okay, so while we're still on that subject and what we were talking about with the How We Met story, then Dennis tacked on top of that.
Yeah.
Was this in the same time period, Dennis?
No, this is recent. This is the retelling of that story again. This is from an article from 2019, and this is like, you know, this is when they started retelling the story again. Like last year, they started retelling this meeting story again as we started coming up on 10 years of marriage.
I want to add really quick, that New York Magazine article Monique read is a really good read. It's out there. It's not like it's, you have to, but it's from beginning to end. There's a lot. It's kind of a deep look into Howard's place. They kind of reveal stuff in there that hasn't been revealed before or since. It's a really good read, that whole thing. Benjamin's right. There's a lot of shit in there. So
yeah.
But I was just saying that article was completely, they rehearsed that. So when Monique read, that is clearly him taking Beth aside and saying, we're going to go this way. We're going to say this to this. Oh. He might have even gotten the questions in advance, but that's scripted. That's them planning that.
Oh, absolutely. He doesn't do anything without knowing stuff in advance. There's no surprises in his world. No.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. Dennis, will you finish what you were saying?
So this is an article from, I think, February of last year that, you know, they were going over, you know, how, they were coming up on their anniversary or whatnot, and this is – you know, a story that was placed in there to talk about how, you know, beautiful Beth is inside and out. And this was a little segment from there. And it's quite fascinating in that this is the story that they've been sticking with for the last few years with different variations of it. But do you want to read it? Or do you want me to read it?
I'll read.
Okay.
Okay. Stern had been single for almost a year when he met. Wait, so where was this from?
I got to pull the article. I don't remember.
I'll read, and if you pull it. Okay, Stern had been single for almost a year when he met Beth Ostrowski at a party in Manhattan. She had been set up on a terrible blind date, and he was in a grumpy mood because he was hungry, and a woman had been chasing him around the party. So the grumpy mood as he retells the story this year, was because he had to go see the kids on, and it was a rainy Saturday night, and he was driving back into the city, and the next day was Mother's Day, right, or something like that.
Yeah.
So he mm-hmm. was really upset about it. All right, let's actually combine that, because that was, so the 2003 Dirty Little Whore thing was from May 5th. So they were probably actually just working on just being together for about a year at that point. When Stern took the only available seat across the table from Beth, she joked by complimenting his eyes in the same way the other woman had done. They started talking and discovered that their homes on the Upper East Side, West Side, you idiots, were close to each other. Later, they exchanged numbers and called it a night. However, Stern couldn't wait for long, and he invited Beth out at 4 o'clock in the morning. And she recalled talking to Andy Cohen. They've been together ever since.
Hold on. I'm trying to find it.
That's okay.
I pulled up my tablet, but it was like the whole Howard Stern comes again and the whole anniversary thing coming up. And it was just an article I can post later.
That's okay.
But I was having the hardest time posting it. But as you see, this story looks nothing like that story he told on the air to AA in 2005. I mean, literally, there's no comparison at all. It's literally not the same story. So it's just really go ahead.
No, I was
done. Go ahead.
You ever hear stories, Hollywood lore stories about movies that has had like 500 rewrites on a script?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, it started this way, and then we pushed it off to this guy. Oh, we thought the main character was this, and we changed the setting, because that's their story of how they met. It's like a Hollywood script that's been rewritten 500 times and little tweaks are made to it and your pickups, and then they can't keep track of the lies. Molly Ringworm writes something here interesting I had highlighted. It's just bizarre. His paranoia, secrecy about the most mundane things like being a new grandfather. It's just bizarre. To the point where you can't say anything, where everything now is, the more time goes on with these two, everything is incriminating. Every no detail, no minutia, it's all incriminating. And he can't, there's so many unmentionables now that when he tells a story, it has to be just pegged and edited and rewritten and tweaked and censored. And that's where that is at now, that the how they met. It's like a horrible script that's been rewritten 500 times by different screenwriters.
Well, I think the only things that remain the same from the story is that they met at a dinner party and that he called her at 4 o'clock in the morning to come over and basically bang him. I mean, that's all I get out of this. You know, everything in between, I'm a little fuzzy on. I thought they went out after that. I thought that some other girl had the hots for him, and you know,
it's different versions of the story. I mean, that's kind of the way it is. There's these different versions of that story where you get them confused because he told it one way 3 years ago, and now that way isn't the way it happened. It's this way now. So that's kind of where the stories keep on going awry, is that there's just slight variations of every one of them.
Yeah, and see, I was right. There was a story where they went to a club afterwards, and then they Howard gave her a ride back, and I guess she went to look at his apartment, and then he walked her home, and then he went home, and you know, and then he called her 4 a.m. to come over. I don't know. We really, we're going to do a deep dig into this at some point.
Yeah, because and every variation of the story. I mean, this is like a mini series. Because honest to God, there's got to be 40 variations of this story. Honestly, there has to be, because sometimes it was an Australian guy. Sometimes it was a South African guy. I mean, literally, some of the story says Australian guy. Some say South African guy. Some say it was a businessman. Some say, I mean, there's just, some say it got stood up. Every version is different.
Wasn't the story originally that her girlfriend, Christine, who she worked with on Letterman, mm-hmm. said to her that yes. night, hey, do you want to come to a party?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So was the story, hey, do you want to come to a party? Or, hey, I have a really hot friend I'd love to set you up with, and we're going to a party tonight? Because the setup with the friend is never mentioned as a part of the equation for why she's there with some South African or Australian dude, right? I mean, that was not part of it. That it was like a last minute, hey, why don't you come to a party? I mean, if it's a setup on a blind date, wouldn't you like, you know, talk to the guy or go there? I don't know. It's just very.
Howard doesn't do anything spontaneous. He doesn't do anything. Lest anybody think in 15 minutes he's making a reroute to go to this thing. There's nothing spontaneous. Everything's calculated. Everything's manipulated.
Exactly right, D-List. No different. Exactly right, D-List. Also, Beth said she was modeling in South Africa. Then in the meetup story, she said that the date was the first time she'd met anyone from South Africa. Good catch. You are exactly right.
Phenomenal catch.
That is a great catch. We have to make a note on that, Johnny, because I think we have to start like pulling some when Howard met Beth clips and see where it takes us through the course of the years. Because I think that there's so many variations to this story.
Yeah, and I think that the one that you have, that is the AA one, is the first telling of that story. That I think that is the earliest telling of that story. Because I don't think
they
told her.
Could be. Well, yeah. I think she had come on the air a few times before that, though. She had come in to visit. She had come in to talk to them. And I feel like there might be, with not so much psychic detail, but I feel like there may be some earlier versions of the story that we are just not remembering. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many versions of it. It's hard to keep track. I mean, you literally need a scorecard be able to keep track of all these different versions of the story. It speaks three languages.
Yeah, I know.
English, Pig Latin, and what?
clearly South African English was not one of them. The idiot couldn't figure out whether the guy was from South Africa or Australia, and everybody knows the accents are completely different. I mean, it's like night and day. Idiots.
I can't speak English.
That's pretty much all I wanted to go into today. That's pretty much all I wanted to talk about. Yeah, is it? Well, literally, we just based an hour and 10 minute long show on a 1 minute clip. So, and listen, you know what? The whole thing about Howard's mad tear. I mean, that could be another show all on its own, and we can, you know, talk about it. And and you know, there was like
that's a very good show. That's a very good show, and I could go into Gina Gershon and obviously Everhard and Robin Givens
there was somebody I had heard about. Who is that? There's somebody I had heard about that he had sex with, and it was the person that apparently, when they were on air and he said that he got laid, and Artie was asked, like, pressing who it was, and then he whispered in Artie's ear who it was, and Artie was like, holy shit, like, it was like shocked and amazed. So I think I kind of know who that person is now, so I'm excited to reveal that at some point if Whiskers gets his fucking druggy cat ass in here, and we'll reveal it all. Yeah,
Boober?
Go ahead, babe.
It was Boober?
Yeah. Tega Lily says, Dum Dum speaks preteen kitty cat and drunken slur languages. Oh, yeah. What about that Pelican Brief 2 thing? So did anybody see that? I wish I had the link to it now. So there was like some weird thing that appeared on, I don't know if it was like Vimeo or Daily Motion or something, that somebody wrote something about a Pelican Brief Part 2. Did anybody see that?
No, I didn't see it.
No, I did not see it either.
No, meaning I saw it.
Any leaks in your text exchanges, Monique?
No.
That's
why I'm a little surprised at seeing that. Not going to lie. I didn't know anything about it, and I wish I could find it. Tumesta, if you know where that is on our site, I will go to it, and I'll play it for us, and then we can talk about it. That channel on Daily Motion Vision, the first Pelican. Yeah, but I don't know who. I don't know what it's called or anything. I don't know. How would I find that?
It's the Pelican Brief channel. Come on.
Okay, Xavier posted it in the thread, but just tell me which thread and I'll go look it up right now so that we can play it and then we can talk about it for a few seconds. Because I just do not know. I'm so sorry.
I'm not knowing of these things.
It's a video somebody posted, or it's like a post somebody made about the potential of that being leaked. What are we looking for? You know what I mean? Is it a post about the potential of Part 2 coming out? It's so strange, though.
Oh.
How much time has gone by since the release of our release of the Pelican Brief?
When was that?
A year? Is it a year? Is it been a year? And we thought, like, who would have thought by now Part 2 would have been out at some point? And it's kind of strange.
I don't know, but I'm just reading something on our site, which I'm going to share. So give me a second here. I thought this was kind of interesting. It is called Shuli Around Soon. So check out screenshots from his wife Christina's Facebook post. Seems like they're moving. Somebody writes, in Pig Latin English, do you really move to Alabama?
Good Lord.
Christina Igor says, yes.
Wow.
This person says, why did you get like an awesome job or something? What about Shuli and his job? I'm the new governor. I don't know.
Classic Christina.
We're going to miss you all, but we wish you the best. Be happy. You all look amazing. Happy for your new experience.
No, they don't.
What's that about?
That's weird. Wait a minute. Unless unless she came to her senses and left Shuley.
Everybody knows there's no Jews in Alabama. The hell is that about?
They can start the first temple.
Tiger Lily, this is your mission.
You can go help them start that first temple. Get them going. Exactly.
Imagine that. How about Zabar's Bagels in Alabama? Zabama's Bagels.
I'm trying to find the Stuttering John thing where they're saying this is posted. Yeah, you know, I really did want to bring that up. I am so sorry that I didn't.
Staying kosher for the holiday.
It looks legitimate. Why would you fake that? I mean, that exchange isn't shtick. I mean,
I know.
It's legit.
So I wonder if Sayon Z will be all over this tonight with his nightly gossip thread. That's curious. I wonder who got that. Thank you for throwing that out at us. I'm going to have to make some calls and see what's going on with that.
Gary Puppet.
What?
It says, that's not the real Christina, guys. So if anybody knows, it's him.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go.
why would you fake to be just Christina's fucking Igar? Who would
I don't know. That's pretty low. That's fairly low.
You really got my hopes up.
I know.
I'm really excited. What a buzzkill. God damn.
Alabama has an airport. Shuley can push people in wheelchairs down there.
Boner killer.
Man, I'm looking for this thing. I don't know where it is. How did we not make a bigger deal out of this? What's wrong with us?
I don't. Which one? The two masters thing?
Yeah. How did we not?
Hold on.
Can you tell me where it is?
It's the Doug Stuttering John's mall is Doug Goodstein.
Ah, I got you. Okay, okay.
Yeah, that was the thread.
Okay, thank you.
I just gotta
so
find
much.
It. It's gone already.
I got it.
I went down the rabbit hole this morning of the Brenton cameo thing. It was really disturbing.
that would mean then who is Doug Goodstein's mall? Right? I mean, he's not with us. So it's John through Goodstein through someone else. So Doug is still friends with someone.
I don't believe that for a second, though, just so you know that about Doug being his mole.
Yeah, you know.
All right, but hang on a second. I have the thread. Let's go see. I got it. Hang on a second. Let me just open
Daily
it up.
Motion sucks. Well, I mean, as far as the way it runs, so be prepared for ads and puttering. Okay. I'm glad it's there, but
I've got it. Give me a second, guys. And we can talk about
That's
it real
totally
quick.
Rebox writes, that's totally her Facebook. There's tons of candid pictures of Shaul.
Are you ready?
Really?
Ready? Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh my God.
Fabulous production.
Pelican breathe.
All right, there you go. I don't know anything about this.
Welcome to Rolling Stone News.
Sorry, ads.
Jeez,
an ad. I don't know anything about like that that link, that person. But what do we think? I mean, is that
they really don't have nowhere to go after win? They don't know.
Wow.
What else is on that channel? Like what else is this channel sporting? Mr. Letty Slayton.
Letty and someone. I went through it because then the commercial was coming on, so I shut it down. So we're gonna have to dive into that. I have no idea what that is, you guys. Wait, what were you saying about Facebook? and that Shaul thing?
That's legitimate. Like that post is, and that's her, and this person, who was it? Something nine. God damn it, I'm gonna go. Said that's her Facebook page. That's legitimate. It's all. I guess they follow her too.
Well,
they think it's real.
Oh.
Well, then the only thing I can say is that either she got a great job, you know, because Shuli certainly doesn't have a good job. And I think it's kind of curious because, well, okay, so since everybody's on Zoom, I guess he can probably do that from anywhere, right, if he had to. But I did notice in the last couple of weeks, though, that other people were responsible for wrangling some of the Whack Pack. So,
yep.
Which has always, you know, been his mainstay, other than doing something with Underdog Lady, which I think was a little bit untimely. It was probably from like months ago.
Oh, that Underdog Lady stuff was from last year. That's how untimely it was. It was last year. Yeah.
It's a Rex box, Monique writes. There's tons of Shuli candid photos on that same Facebook page.
Well, I believed it. I don't know. Yeah. It's just that Gary that said it wasn't.
Well, I mean, he is a source.
I know. It's hard to refute anything he says.
It's hard, exactly.
Maybe she left him, Lisa says.
Oh, I can't understand why. He has such ability. It's unlimited potential there.
Where are you going to find another Shuli in this day and age?
I mean, God, yeah, seriously.
You hold on tight. You hold on for dear life.
I mean, that's an earner. I mean, forever and ever.
Yeah. Gary Puppet, just so you know, that wasn't from Instagram. That was from Facebook. So she may have a different Instagram, but that's apparently from her Facebook page. So maybe that's why you're a little confused with which one is which was which. Oh, my God. Yeah, his appearance of late has been, like, horrific. And, so, yeah, I would love to get to the bottom of what's going on with Shuli. Nothing would make me happier than for that fucking hack to be gone. Nobody was less funny in the Artie roast that we did the other day.
Yeah.
He was horrific. So, yeah, nobody's going to miss you, Shuli. Sorry. But I'm definitely gonna make some inquiries and see what's going on and see if I can find out any scoop for you guys. And I will definitely give it to you just as soon as I find out anything. If I find out anything, I've been a little out of the loop. Not going to lie. Been a little remiss. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's going to wrap us up for today.
Oh.
And
so wait a minute. It's just a Stern Show kind of fact thing. He is going to be back tomorrow because he's on show 74, right? And he has to make 112 by the end of the year. Well, I calculated it out. He has to come back tomorrow, but he has a makeup show because of the Rona show. He actually has to do one more show than he thought he would have to do. So
it doesn't have to be tomorrow then. He might pull some weird shit down
no.
Rest of the year.
He's coming. He has to because he's running out of weeks to do it. He has almost 40 shows left.
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right.
And there's only
40
4 months
shows.
Left.
Wow.
Yeah, 38 shows left, something like that. Yeah.
So if between now and Christmas, let's say, he'd have to work pretty much every week except for, like, say, Thanksgiving or whatever? Like, how does
that
work?
It's close to it. Plus, he has that makeup day because of that Wednesday he missed with the Rona. So now he is actually one show behind.
Do you think they'll make him make it up, though, or do they care? I mean, especially if he's not re-signing, then he doesn't give a shit. So that might be a telltale.
Yeah, I mean, that would be our giveaway because he would have to do it this month or October would be when the makeup show would be. It wouldn't be in November or December. So, yeah, and that it will be a huge telltale because if he doesn't do it, then that's him just going, yeah, fuck you, I'm done. And so that's kind of weird in the way that's all the math is working out and that whole 112 schedule. Because right now, if he does his normal schedule, it's 111 shows that last day in December.
Didn't he take some weird week off last year in October? Wasn't there some strange that nobody knew was coming and it just kind of vanished one day? Everybody thought he was on the air. It was a really big stink. He just vanished in October, strangely.
I know he did one thing for a contract we took. No. He only does 9 shows a month usually. So however it works out, he does 9 shows a month. So he's going to have to do 10 shows in 1 month. Poor thing.
Oh, no.
We're really crying about this. But,
yeah, make me sad.
Look at Gary, what he knows. Deborah's wedding was October.
Ah.
Oh, my God.
Of course.
That's right.
But it wasn't last year. It was the year before, Gary said.
Grandpa never mentioned it.
Yeah, Grandpa never mentioned being a grandpa. Yep. The only one who did was the mean Simon Cowell. which I thought was particularly delicious last week.
And the, I love the and once again the silence from the wig was just deafening. Stunned to use that.
Molly Ringwald says that there were rumors that his father was ill too last year when he was out.
Yeah, right.
So it could be any of those things, you know. If his dad's not getting any younger, I think, you know, this may be their year. Ill. I think this might be their year. So, you know, who knows?
this might be their year. Let the cops be coming.
Whatever. They've lived a very, very long life. There's no, you know, once you get past 90, there's no complaints. I mean, you've lived as much of your best life as you can possibly live. And that's all she wrote, right? All right. So I think we're going to end it on this. And yes, we are scheduled for a show on Thursday, I think. And I think what I've been starting to do is like some throwback shows, just like Radio Gunk videos that now that they're off of YouTube, I figure they're fun to kind of go through and, you know, re-laugh at like some stupidness that we've done in the past and things like that. So every Thursday is going to be kind of like a video or Radio Gunk podcast review kind of show. And by all means, Dennis and John, I don't really talk through it. I just like do the chat. So if you want to like jump on and we can chat about it, that's always fun to do. So we'll be doing that on Thursday. And then new show will be starting on Friday. Ooh. And it's only a half hour. It's me and this guy, Greg, who does a show called Barbecue Central. And it's called An Idiot Sandwich. And it's where we kind of go through really kind of crappy foods on YouTube and, you know, talk about bad food choices and shitty looking food stuffs. So yeah.
Monique, Gary Puppet and Tiger Lee have a point. The NFL kicks off exactly when, so you won't go earlier, you know.
Oh wait, like Thursday night,
the NFL is a Texans Chiefs game. And that starts the NFL. I think it's 8:15 Eastern time.
Oh, good to know. Okay, so maybe I'll move it to like tomorrow night or something, and I won't do a Thursday night show this week. That's okay. I mean, listen, the beauty of doing this is that it's like super flex, so whatever. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, we can definitely. Thank you for letting me know that. I'll definitely keep that in mind for going forward as well. All right, hold on. What is this? Has anyone gotten in touch with Dan Foreman, the old Channel 9 producer? No, but I have all of the Channel 9 shows. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want to go through some of those Channel 9 shows. I left so hard the other day when with Stuttering John and looking at Ed Howard dressed in that weird bald leather chaps kind of thing.
To Right Said Fred. That was his Right Said Fred, wasn't it?
That was his Right Said Fred. Yep. That's exactly right. Also, Gary Puppet wants to know why we're not doing fantasy football. John?
Oh, no. I could set it up tomorrow, maybe. We could do it. If anyone wants, you could auto-draft it. I would commission it. Sure.
All right. So, Gary, why don't you get on that?
I've been in such a bad way.
And Gary, you can set it up, silly boy. By all means, set it up. I'm sure we'll be able to do it. And you know what? It doesn't even have to, like, sometimes we've had years where, you know, it's like a gigantic league where you almost can't even, you know, kind of concentrate on your team and you can't really get in. So if you do it and you keep it kind of small and limit it to like maybe 20 people, I'm sure you'll be able to get people to do it.
You want no more than 14 and no less than 12, ideally.
I don't know. Right. You know what? Just throw it up there. See how many people are interested, and then you can set it up. But it's got to be done today, you know, so at least it can be set up for the league. And I think everybody's been on, like, Yahoo Sports, so that's the one everybody's kind of used to. So all they have to do is log in with their old password and get right in and be part of the fantasy football. All right, cool. So any of you that don't listen to us at Radio Gunk in the forums, you should come join us. Dennis does a listening thread every morning that Howard is on, who does the Lord's work, no joke. And so come and join us in there during his work hours if you'd like to. And either way, I'll read you the schedule so that the show maybe we'll do tomorrow night or something like that, and we'll just kind of tag in if we can, and we'll join the conversation. I haven't picked a show yet, but we'll do something. All right, guys. So thanks so much for joining us. And yeah, anything else to say? Boys,
no. I'm gonna look for suggestions for videos we can go over. If anybody has any ideas, Smelly James was one with the guys from that Mini Hand show. It's not inside baseball, but it's an old school. It's a really old school. If anybody has one more, the divorce roast. I was thinking some of the stuff that's been banned, like who's the Rachel Hunter. When he went off on her in 06, that'd be a cool one to go down, the one with the chick from Smallville.
Yeah.
When she ran out of the studio. So whatever, anybody got ideas about videos you want us to talk through?
The band stuff would be very good stuff, because no one gets to hear that anymore. So yeah, you're right. The Rachel Hunter thing will never see the light of day ever again. Ever.
All right, so we'll do it.
Sure.
All right, guys, thank you so much. Yeah, go through Howard Stern's New Year's Rockin' Eve pay-per-view special. Okay, we can do that as well.
But that was so bad.
Iron Sheik, somebody mentions.
Yeah. He was on all the time, too.
Yeah.
Why the Sheik? Why is that just – I mean, you got to be a wrestling fan.
No, but he was on all the time on the show. It ended up – he was like just a – he ended up being a part of the show, especially with Artie.
Yeah, but did he do something controversial to not be on anymore? Like, is he
controversial, so that's why.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, you know, but he's not so
he's
much.
Not, he's not PC, that's why.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, friends, thank you so much for joining us. And you have a great night on this Labor Day, end of Labor Day weekend, end of summer, which is depressing the shit out of me. But, you know, I'm loving nothing more than no humidity and like 72 degrees. And I know some of you on the East Coast, down in the South and on the West Coast are suffering terribly. And I feel horrible for you. There can't possibly be anything worse than 110 degrees and fires. So it's as shitty as it can possibly get. So I feel your pain. Sorry for you all. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you, John and Dennis, for being able to come in last minute and do the show with us. Yep. And you have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.